I want to welcome you guys to Christ Church as well as our Church Online family. It is a privilege for me to be here. I don't get the opportunity to speak much, as I heard it said earlier today. Today is Second String Sunday, so you guys got me. So I'm so glad that you guys are here. Pastor Bob came to me and asked if I wanted to preach, and I said, absolutely. And so I was praying and thinking about what I wanted to share with you guys. And I felt that the Spirit of God stir in my heart, as well as others, that we need to focus on discipleship. And so part of discipleship is something that I call habits of grace. So if you ask me, what is a habit of grace? Well, you have God's grace. I can talk a little bit about that, but really it's things that we do that becomes habits in our life that are centered on God's grace for us, so we grow closer to God through these things. So I brought with me some visual illustrations, and knowing me, I'm a youth director. I like visual things, and I like to have fun up here. So let's do this together. So I found a vase. I actually stole this from my parents' house. I didn't ask them. Taking this. I didn't have one quite like this, and somebody said, well, you know, the vases that I have, they bottleneck up top. And somebody told me, you didn't buy your wife a big enough bouquet that needs this big a rim? And I said, no, I didn't. So good job, whoever got that. So yeah, I found this really big vase in my parents' house, and so let's talk about that for a second. And so, when we are born into the kingdom of God, water is a symbol that God uses and that we use, and throughout the scripture, as a representation of being really adopted to the family. So when we are baptized, we're either sprinkled with water or water's on our head, or some people, we use the baptismal. I was sprinkled when I was a baby, but that's a sign of being adopted to God's family. See, Jesus says you are born of water and the Spirit. And so what we're going to do is I brought some water here. And so just to represent being born into God's family, let's pour some water into our vase, and I'll talk about that. So we use this vase as representing our spiritual walks with God, mind you. The vase is kind of representing our spiritual lives. The amount of water kind of represents, you know, where we're at in our relationship with God. So ultimately, God wants us to be pouring out of our lives Him, right? God's Spirit, our goal, we are designed intrinsically to be filled with God's Spirit in our lives. See, it starts when we are born into His family. With our baptism, and you, as you can see, there's some water in here. But I also brought something else. I also brought these ping pong balls, because I like to have fun, right? So I brought some ping pong balls, and what they're going to represent is they're going to represent things in our lives that are a high priority to us, that are not things of the kingdom of heaven. We all have ping pong balls in our lives. That's the nature of being here on this earth. You know, we are not from this earth, but we do live in the earth. We are from God's kingdom. But things in our lives that take our energy, our time, our money, really what we are, our priorities. So let's put a few in. Let's just think of a couple. Our jobs. That's important, right? Those are ping pong balls. Sometimes they're big ping pong balls. Sometimes people have jobs that only take one ping pong ball. I'm jealous of that. And how many of you have raised teenagers? Okay. That requires a lot. And for those that raised me, two more. So, you know, our families, that's important to us. I mean, mind you, these things are not bad, okay? These things are important. They're not bad. They're just not necessarily spiritual things. So, what's another thing? I really like have a lot of hobbies, and so for me, mine would look like, you know, woodworking, leather working, and I can go on and on. But you know, hobbies, you know, watching TV. You guys like watching TV? I like watching TV. We'll put some more in there. How about sports? Any Cowboys fans? Yeah. How about the Dallas Cowboys? Right? They're doing great. Aren't they like NFC champions, I think? Yeah, I think they are. Anyway, that's exciting. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. Anyway, so movies, like going to movies. What are some other things that could be a ping pong ball? Just shout something out. Pool? School. Yeah, school, that's several. What's some more?
Food.
Yeah, food. Yeah. Hey, is that one or two?
Two or three.
Two or three. All right, I love it. What else? We have two left. Three left.
Church.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. Church could be, but also could not be, a spiritual thing. It kind of depends on what the motivation for coming is, right? I mean, for me, when I was in youth group, it was definitely going to church to meet as many girls as I could. Pastor Bob would know about that. Anyway, okay, so I got two more.
Volunteer activities,
great. One more.
Shopping.
Okay, I heard it. That's great. All right, so we use all our ping pong balls. So if we look at that, I'm going to trip over the water. If we look at that, that looks full, right? I think that looks full. And the enemy will say, that is full. You are done. You don't need any more God in your life because you have so many other things. Look at this. How do you have time for a relationship with God? How do you have time to grow closer to me when you're trying to maintain all of these things in your life? That's what the enemy tries to say. And unfortunately, I've bought into that lie at some points in my life. I don't know if you have bought into that lie. And there's just some things that indicate that we have bought into this lie. And I'm just going to just share a few things, not saying this is you or anything, but when church becomes more about us, more about me, and then instead of what pleases God. You see, you know, it's easy to come into church and say, whoa, I just wasn't feeling the sermon today. Pastor, you need to do a better job. Or, man, you're taking too long. Anybody ever heard that one? I have to get to my lunch, you know. I just don't feel like coming to church today. I have worked so hard, and my kids, they're just nuts, and I just want to sleep in. You know, I've been there. I don't have the kids, but I just like, man, those are some indicators. And also, instead of, you know, coming into the church and like, God, what pleases you the most? Like, God, what pleases you the most? Instead of, God, I don't know if I like that song. You know, these are all things that I think that can help wake us up, so to speak, to say, you know, I'm not satisfied with this. I don't think anybody in the room would be satisfied with what's here. But here's the thing. I don't know. It takes a wake-up call. And I know one in my life to realize I'm here. I would almost consider myself a baby Christian almost. You see, we don't have to stand there. We don't have to stay there. And God does not want that for us. And see, there's things that I call habits of grace that can help break us free from this. You know, these ping pong balls aren't bad. I'm not trying to say that. But right now, if we look at this life, and we'll let this represent my life, there's a lot of things competing for my attention, is there not? How do I manage all those things? And how do I grow closer to God? Well, there's three things I want to touch on today, and this is just scratching the surface of what we call discipleship, of what we call growing closer to God. And another word for habits of grace is also spiritual disciplines. I opted for Habits of Grace because I think that sounds a little bit better than spiritual disciplines. I personally don't like to be disciplined. I have been disciplined many a times, and I'm thankful that I was disciplined. But spiritual disciplines, you see, Richard Foster calls spiritual disciplines in his book Celebration of Discipline. It's kind of a counter. It doesn't make any sense, celebration of discipline. But he says spiritual disciplines are like pruning a garden. So if you've ever gardened, if you ever weeded, if you ever maintained a flower garden, you have to prune it and you have to pull all the weeds, right? And especially one of the worst weeds, it's not really a weed, but it invades, is crabgrass. I've experienced that in my flower bed. It will take over. You have to use Roundup and all sorts of things. So you have to maintain the garden in order to make room for the plants that you like, right? So there's life-giving plants. There's beautiful plants. There's flowers and all sorts of things. There's tomatoes. There's, you know, all sorts of wonderful plants out there. But if grass and weeds take over, all the nutrients are going to be sucked out. So if you look at what's happening right now in our illustration of ping pong balls and water, there's not a lot of room for water because the mass is being taken up by these ping pong balls. I just dropped one. That's all right. So there's three things I want to share with you guys today. I've just scratched the surface of some habits I want to talk about. The first one is prayer. You see, in Galatians chapter 6, 7, and 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit." So sowing to the Spirit is what I want to talk about. And one of the ways that we do that is through prayer. You see, prayer is a pathway to knowing God. It's a pathway of communication with the Father. And when I was in high school, when I received my call to be a youth pastor, one of the things that I knew I was going to have to do was pray, and pray in public. And that's something that I'm terrified to do it. And when I was in high school, and I was like, how in the world am I going to pray for somebody? And then I'm still kind of scared to pray in public. Especially if I'm going to visit somebody in the hospital, what do you say to somebody in the hospital? So prayer. And so I was hoping, when I went to college, I was going to get my undergrad in ministry. I was hoping there was going to be a class that will make me the best prayer warrior that I will ever be. And I got through Oklahoma Wesleyan, and I got through my degree, and guess what? There was no class on how to pray. So I was on my own for that one. When I'm looking at seminary, I'm in seminary right now, and I look on the course, recommended course list, there's no classes on prayer. I don't think it's something that you learn in a class. I think it's something that you learn by doing it. Amen? You see, God wants to talk to us. More than just, before a meal or more than just Sunday mornings. But if you look throughout the scriptures and if you read any books on prayer, it's more than just one or two sentences, but it's really a life. Like, you live your life as a prayer. You see in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see Jesus, and we know that he took time intentionally to pray. You see, it says this, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." You see, we look at Jesus to model our examples. If I look at that, I'm not very good at one of those things already. Anybody guess what it is? It's the very first couple of words. It said very early in the morning. I'm not a morning person. So me, that might be late in the I don't know. It's not when he did it. It's more important that he got rid of distractions in his life. He knew for him that early in the morning. So if Jesus, the creator of the universe, like God himself, made a priority to pray, how much more so are we to do that? And I think you guys know that. You see, why do we pray? It's not to inform God of what we need, because He already knows what we need. But really, if you think about it, prayer's meant for a reminder of us that we are dependent on God. And God likes to hear His children. Amen? He loves to hear us. And see, if you live your life as a prayer, things will look different. You see, in June 2013, there was a little boy named Grayson Clamp. He was 3 years old, and he was born without a nerve that connected his ear to his head. And so he was deaf, so he could not hear a thing. You see, University of North Carolina, they tried cochlear implants. That didn't work. But there was an experiment they wanted to see if it will work. And so they implanted a nerve directly from his ear to his brain, the nerve that he was missing. And it was filmed. The response, what happened, it worked. And so the first thing that he heard was his dad saying, "I love you, Grayson." And you can see his face. He goes, he knew that was his dad saying, "I love you." What a powerful moment that Grayson experienced. You see, God wants to know through prayer that His children love Him and His children are dependent on Him. Prayer helps us grow closer to God. It's going to get messy here in a little bit. Second thing I want to visit with you guys about. And out of the three, this is probably the one that I struggle with the most. Fasting. I don't like fasting. And that's probably a good thing because I need to work on it. You see, in a world of super buffets and large, any size drink for a dollar at McDonald's, pizza temples, golden arches, and my favorite, cheese. I absolutely love cheese, if anybody knows me. Actually, I found out that I don't like cheese from the rest of the world, just cheese from America. Anyway, so, yeah, cheese from the rest of the world is kind of smelly, and it's not the best. If you like it, great. But anyway, you see, food is something that I love. And what's great about fasting is we know that we need food, right? And we get hungry. And there's two things that I think that have really led to a decline in people talking about fasting. First is, I think culture has kind of said, you kind of need to eat throughout the day. You need to have, your most important meal is breakfast. And you kind of need to have small snacks to keep your metabolism going and, to be more alert. And so you need to have well-rounded, balanced meals throughout the day. And yes, you do. That's important. I'm not saying that's not. But I'm trying to say is your body can live without food for a day or two. It really can. And it'll be all right. You see, and the second reason I think that we don't talk about it is, well, it's not fun. It's hard. It's not easy. So that's why I think it's really powerful. If you look at the scriptures, I'm gonna name a few people that in the scriptures had a really powerful story of fasting. Moses, King David, Elijah, Esther, she did an intense fast. Daniel, you guys done the Daniel fast. I know that we've done it last year. And Jesus, and he did it for 40 days. Other spiritual giants, not in the scriptures, but Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and John Wesley. They've all recorded about fasting. John Wesley also wrote this in his journal about fasting there in 1756. I'm a little bit of a history buff, so I love things about history. And so what happened was the King of Britain was being threatened by the French army. And so they were threatened by a French invasion. And so what the king did was says, you know, guys, this is going to be bad. Like, we need to seek God for this. We probably need to pray and fast. And so they did. They did. John Wesley wrote this in his journal about that. The fast day was a glorious day, such as London has scarce seen since the Restoration. Every church in the history was more full, and a solemn seriousness sat on every face. Like, they knew what they were getting into. Like, they knew what was happening. Surely God heareth the prayer, and there will be yet a lengthening of our tranquility. In the footnote, he later wrote, humility was turned into a national rejoicing, for the threatened invasion by the French was averted. Now, is that because they prayed and fasted? Or is it because they were better troops? I know that God heard their prayers. And the nation, probably people who have never fasted before, fasted that day. You see, when the scripture talks about fasting, you know, what's interesting, if you look at the Sermon on Mount, Matthew chapter 6, there's three things that are really kind of assumed that Christians would do. It's praying, fasting, and giving. Those three things are in order when Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And the thing that Jesus says about fasting, he says this in Matthew chapter 6. It says, let me get there. It says, when you fast, not if, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, again, when you fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face, so not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen. It's interesting, Jesus talks about motive as one of the first things that he talks about when fasting. You know, I can imagine these hypocrites and these religious leaders saying, I'm so religious, I'm fasting right now. We don't hear people talking like that, right? I mean, we don't. Like that's what they were doing. They were like, oh, look at me, I am fasting. But if I were to fast, it's you would know I'm fasting, not because I'm trying to tell you I'm fasting, it's because I get angry. Anybody get hangry? Yeah. And so I need to like lock myself in a room for however long I'm doing it and just not talk to anybody because I'll snap at you. Because I get hangry. I do. And that's okay, because when we remove our dependence on earthly things, we are reminded of whose we really are. And we are God's. You see, that hunger that we are getting is turn that hunger into God. Like, I am so hungry right now, and God knows that, but I am not dependent on bread alone. You scripture says, man should not live on bread alone, but by the word of God. You see, the more powerful the fast, and the more hungry we get, I think the more we're reminded of God's grace and mercy at work in our lives. So the purpose of fasting is to fix our hearts on God. It reminds us that we're sustained by every word that he reveals to us through his word, through his spirit, and through each other. So, fasting. It's probably one of the hardest for me to do, but if you do it, you grow closer to God. As you can see, some things are falling away, and I'm making a little bit of a mess, but it's good. I'll talk about that here in a second. Last thing I want to share with you guys as we're closing today is study. Study is the renewal of our minds. You see, study is really trying to hear and meditate and learn the word of God. You see, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, when we read God's word, it becomes written on our hearts. You know, statistics say that most Christians will live their whole life without reading this, every book and every word in the Bible. And that saddens me, but it wasn't up until recently that I have actually made it an effort to try to do so. I'm still doing it. You know, if you were to take the scriptures and read it verbatim, you know, I found out that they only take about 70 hours and 40 minutes if you were to read it at a pace that I'm talking right now. You said 70 hours, man, that's a long time. But if you think about it, you know, how many hours do we watch TV? You know, how many hours do we spend doing other things in the day? So 70 hours, and to live a life without reading the Bible, I think God has got more in store for us than that. You see, there's things that's so important to study this for yourselves, to know what God's word says for yourselves, instead of relying on someone teaching it to us. I think it's important to do both. But also, what I'm going to do with the youth group is I'm challenging us to read the Bible in a year this next year. And so what I want us to do is when we gather together for our meetings, we're going to spend the first part talking about how did it go this week? You know, what has God revealed to you through the scriptures? And we're all going to be reading the same thing. And so I want to encourage you guys, and I know that the New Year's is a time to start New Year's resolutions or any of that, but let it be a lifelong thing that we are in God's word daily. And some of you are already there, and I think that's great. I'm trying to myself get into a place where I do that. And I found naturally for me, you know, when I go to work, instead of listening to the radio, I get my phone out, and I go to my app. There's a YouVersion app, and I click on the plan for the day, and it puts it through the car, and so I listen to the scriptures as I'm driving to work, instead of listening to the radio. And if something I wanted to go back and visit, I can look at it later in the day, but I'm reading and listening and meditating over God's word in the time of my life that makes sense for me. I know Pastor Bob does it while he's walking in the mornings. I think that's great. I tried that. I didn't quite succeed. But anyway, so studying and reading God's word for yourself is so important. And I know you guys know that. But I know for me, I need to work on it. And so when we study and we live on God's word, you know, we begin to memorize scriptures. We just know God's word. I mean, I don't think there's anything more powerful than that. And so when we study and when we read God's word, that helps us grow closer to God. And we eventually make a mess. But what happens is you can see, you know, these are 1 minute out there. These are three things. I know that there's a whole list of things that we can be doing as habits of grace. But when we look at this picture, you know, God's spirit is so flowing out of us that the ping pong balls begin to fall away. We are so full of living water that it pours out of us. You see, how can we pour and invest into someone if we're only this deep ourselves? By the grace of God, by growing in Christ's likeness, things begin to fall away. And the ping pong balls that are important stay. You see, these are not bad. But some things in our life need to shift. Our priorities need to shift. Maybe we need to stop doing stuff in order to put God first back in our lives. You see, the number one reason why people don't go to church on Sundays is because they don't plan to. See, if you think about it, you plan to be at jobs, you're not going to miss a day unless you're sick. You see, let's plan not to just come to church, but let's plan to be the redemptive community God has called us to be. And that's the church. We don't come to church to listen to a pastor. We come to church to grow closer together and to grow closer to God together. That is through God's word, through pastor, through the Sunday schools. And growing on your own is so important. So as you can see here, everything else that is not as important begins to fall away as you begin to focus on God and what God's doing in your life. The things that are important rest on the foundation of who you are in Christ. You see, nothing can stop that. And they're floating on top of that foundation as God has designed. That's what God wants in our lives. And I think that you and I to say we want that too. We want God to be the center of everything that we're doing. I'm not here yet. I wish I was. But let's grow closer together. Amen? Let's do it together. I know in 2019, Pastor Jim is going to have a class called The Next Step. And if you want to help grow closer together, I highly recommend taking that class. It's not just a class. You can't just learn it. But it's a group of people that want to do it together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the grace that you give us to live a life that is focused on you. God, we ask that we put ourselves aside, God, and we allow your spirit to just flow out of everything that we're doing, God. Let us reap from your spirit. And let us not be caught up in the lie that our lives are full, that too many things in our lives are getting in the way, or we don't have time to, you know, whatever the excuse might be, God. I pray that we get past those barriers, God, and we just invite your spirit to just flow among us, God. We thank you for the grace that has enabled us to do so. We thank you for Jesus and the life that he lived and sacrificed on the cross that he has given for us, God. We invite your Holy Spirit, God. Let's grow closer together. In Jesus' name, amen.